I was very encouraged to see this picture of this race, this timeline. Yeah, we need to run this race with endurance. And we do have a race that we need to finish. And there was a point that Philip already mentioned, that's our in verse 1 of Hebrews 12, it says that we need to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. The Lord also said, how can you run a race with endurance if you have this whole backpack on you? When we work out, we use weights, and we even have a vest that we put on with weights. And then I thought, okay, how can I run a race if I also have this vest full of weights on me? I don't think we can finish such a sprint or a race if I have so much on me that holds me back. How will I reach the goal? I think this is all clear for us, but what does it look like in our daily lives? And I asked the Lord, okay, what can be this weight that's in our lives? Luke 21:34. It says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. And this is also about the last or the end times. So even in these days, our hearts can be weighed down. It's with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And if I ask myself, what is carousing or, yeah, where does this carousing appear in my life? And the Lord showed me very concrete things. How do you deal with your smartphone? Does it hold you fast? Do I hold fast on it? Do I look at my messengers? Do I look at my Telegram? And this can also weigh me down from running the race. Or, you know, that I make the formatting so nice on my smartphone so that things will look nice. But this can consume me. It's like having a weight. Being chained to a weight that will hinder me from running this race. Or wicked desires. Sometimes we also we have this this desire to buy things. And I said, Lord, where are these things still in my life? In my heart, I realize I still have the love of money. In certain aspects, it's still there. And in 1 Timothy 6, it says, some pursue the love of money and they really fell away from the faith. Just like we see in Hebrews 11. You can come forward through faith and you can run the race by faith, but the love of money can also lead you astray from this faith. Yeah, and those who really are weighed down by the love of money, they will not reach the goal. And what about the cares of this life? And I think this really occupies most of us the most. Because, everyone's thought about their work in 2022 to think, okay, what if our finances don't suffice? What if we lose our jobs? And in a certain way, it's justified to have these thoughts. And we can also bring them before the Lord. But what happens if it consumes us and weighs us down so much that we cannot run all the way until the goal, and then we stay standing still and we let ourselves be brought away from the goal? The Lord showed me, you have to cast all your cares upon me. Cast them upon me, like it says in 1 Peter. Luke 14, for example. It's also about this parable of the Great Supper. He says, come, for all things are ready, verse 17. But the first said, oh, I bought a piece of ground, and other bought 5 yoke of oxen. They excused themselves. Are we also like those who say, oh, I can't keep running, sorry, I have other things to do. I've bought things, and I have to take care of these things. We moved into our own place recently, and there are a lot of things to take care of, but it should not be an excuse that I can't continue to run the race, but we should continue to run the race. And there's a point in Luke 9, in verse 62, it says, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And then I realized, Hebrews 12 says that we have to look away unto Jesus, but here in Luke 9, this person is looking back. And maybe we look at what was before. Look at what was before 2020. And then we think, oh, and now we also have to fight? Why can't it be like it was before? But these are also weights that weigh us down, that are really like, weights that hang upon us, that hinder us from running this race. And it's also like Lot's wife. She turned back and became a pillar of salt. So there are many things in our lives that hinder us from running the race. So the question is, how do we lay these aside? It's not enough to just see that we have these weights, but we have to concretely, decidedly lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us every day. And we have the best example, the perfect example. And this really spoke to me. Jesus is the perfect example, and we should look away unto him because he's already reached the goal. If I see that someone's already past the finish line and is at the goal, then I will look at this very clearly as to how this person made it to the goal. How did the Lord make it to the goal? How did he do it? How did he make it? And the Lord really spoke to me, look at this example. Look at Jesus. And Paul, for example, he's such an example to run like him. He reached the prize. He always had the vision of God before his eyes. He always looked at what was before him. He reached forward to the things that are before and not at the things which were behind him. 1 Corinthians 9 is that he had a vision, and he also disciplined his body. And I need Christ as my sin offering. Yeah, the sin so easily ensnares us. And if I realize this, then I want to be like Paul, to discipline my body and to gain Christ as my sin offering. So we can't say that much, because it's specific to each one of us. It's an individual thing on the one hand, but we all have the same example, the Lord who has already reached the goal. And we can ask Him what we need to finish the race. What are the points that hinder me from running this race with endurance? What hinders me from finishing the race? Yeah, we have to say, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. And if He shows us what the problem is, then we have to be ready to work with Him. Sometimes we don't see the effect immediately. I have the experience that I've tried for weeks to lay these things aside with the Lord, and sometimes it's really required weeks, and I don't see the result right away, and I had to take the Lord as my sin offering again and again, and to look at Him and to see how He overcame. But at the end, I was able to gain the victory. Hallelujah. That's why faith is a substantiation of things hoped for. Amen. So this is an encouragement for us. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. So let's all lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and that we look away unto Jesus. Yeah, and we know that we can look away unto Jesus. Do you have some more endurance? The Lord has provided something better for us. I'm very encouraged by this. In this first section, we see that all have run this race and have and received the testimony, obtained a good testimony. They have already run the race, they obtained a good testimony, but did not receive the promise, because the Lord God has provided something better for us. This is what the word says. And shortly after His first coming, it says that He provided a better covenant for us, a better promise, a better offering. The New Testament is definitely the better. But at the end, we have an even greater cloud of witnesses than at that time where Hebrews was written. And now we even have a promise for something better, that we can even finish this race. The cloud of witnesses is waiting for us to finish this race. The Lord wants something to be displayed in the saints. Imagine that the Lord wants to have the greatest display on the earth of what He has worked in all the believers. This is what He wants to display. As it says in Ephesians, Ephesians 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And he, before then, we see what he has saved us out of, all of disobedience, out of all our trespasses, out of sin. He takes us out and he does something wonderful. I have an uncle who's who really likes old vehicles, like vintage cars. So there was this car that was totally decimated, but they put a lot of work into restoring it into its former condition. And then it was put at an exposition, and it was a really big deal. And it was something very special, because before it was really nothing, but it was restored. Just like man, we have been created in a wonderful way, but through the devil, we have really become nothing. And it says here, among whom, in verse 3 of Ephesians 2, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And then, even when we were dead in trespasses, we were made alive together with Christ. And he gave us his life, and he transforms us. And through what he does in us, he wants to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 1:10 says, when he comes, in that day, to be glorified in his saints, amen, and to be admired among all those who believe. This is really a display, a show, to show what Christ has worked in each one of us, in all of the saints. He wants this to be admired among all those who believe. It's not about what we are and who we are, but it's about all these acts of faith that we have read in Hebrews 11. It's a very short list in Hebrews 11. But when he comes, we will really see everything that he has done, where they're not even mentioned in Hebrews 11, but he has done a lot. So Hebrews 11 shows this whole, these cloud of witnesses until his first coming, and then we still have the 2,000 years after his first coming, where there were even more witnesses that were added to this cloud, and then it's now our age where we can finish this race and this fight. And 1 Corinthians always, or the word uses this picture of this race. It says, do you not know that everyone runs in a race, but only one receives the prize? 1 Corinthians 9:24. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And then it says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. So it's not just a race, but it's also a fight against the enemy. It's a fight and it's a race. So that's why it's not that easy. At that time, there were already the Olympics. And those who won the Olympics were an example. They ran the race to gain the prize. And this is for human glory. If you have enough discipline, you get the gold medal. But this is for a perishable crown. But we're running for a prize that is imperishable. So there will be a certain aspect of this honor where the Lord will give us the crown. And this has to show us inwardly. that this is much better and higher than the Olympics. And each one of us is running in this race with this great cloud of witnesses. The righteous falls 7 times, but what does he do? He gets up again every time. So we may think, oh, we are not worthy. But the victory is in our getting up again after we fall. So this race is like a relay race. They carried this testimony, but they gave it and passed it on to the next person. We have the opportunity to do it even better, to bring this testimony past the goal. Yeah, we have really the great opportunity to finish this race. This is a better promise than the ones who ran before us didn't receive. This is so strong, not just to run. Of course, we see that we want to reach the goal. But the Father also is happy to give us the prize. It's actually his desire to give us this prize. And that we would run this race in Christ, not just for us, but firstly for Christ. For the Father. But there are many other people who also still need salvation. And even the next generation, they look at how we run this race. You may think, oh, like this priest that Toby talked about in the previous meeting, you would think, oh, was it really worth it for him to do that? No, but it was important also for others to see how he stood fast. There are always easier ways. Maybe the three friends of Daniel could also have said, we can also play the instruments and then we don't have to bow down to the statue and then no one will realize that we didn't bow down. No, they didn't do that, but they stood there as a testimony for everyone to not go along with what everyone else was doing. So we shouldn't do things out of our own concepts. We should ask the Lord, what do you want to do? And we should be faithful to what the Lord tells us to do, not according to our concepts or our opinions. But when the Lord says something, it's good to stand. Also for the sake of others. My cousin in England, she worked at an NGO and she ran in this corporate race. And it was like a charity race. And it was, yeah, like an obstacle mud race. And just because she was at the starting line, everything that she had collected was donated, to be donated. You trained yourself for this race, but you also know that you're running this race for charity, that someone else will benefit for this. So, like us, if we really run this race and stand fast, it will also serve for the salvation of other people. If someone really is burning for the goal and has this, and is, it will open a door for many other people to be saved. And that's why it's good to be such examples for the believers. Paul said to those in Thessalonica, your faith has been proclaimed throughout the whole world, that I don't even have to say anything because everyone has seen what kind of faith you have. And this is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Paul also says, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be transformed. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together, shall be raptured. This is also this better thing, or this better portion, that we would not even have to taste death, or be able to reach the goal and not taste death. This is something special, right? To not have to taste death, and to also belong to the group of the first fruits. Because the scripture shows us in Revelation 14, for example, that these first fruits will come before the throne. 144,000. These are the ones who ran all the way at the... Oh, these are the ones who are running at the end of the race. The man-child also goes to the throne of God, but there's a difference. One time, the Mount Zion is mentioned for the 144,000, and the martyr or the man-child goes before the throne. But there is a difference. So there is a difference between those who overcame before us, the cloud of witnesses, and those who at the end will be raptured as the first fruits, who will be preserved from the hour of trial, as it's the Lord says to the church in Philadelphia. Praise the Lord for this race. Amen. Many have run before us, and now it's our turn. Lord, strengthen us to run with endurance all the way to the goal, and to not give up or to draw back. Lord, thank you. In your light, we see light. I like this verse in Hebrews 12 a lot. It says, looking away unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. At Christmas time, people want to bring the Lord back into this, into the manger, but that doesn't make sense. You can't bring the Lord to the cross again, for example, but he's seated on the throne, and he's already at the goal, or he made it, and he wants to also perfect us. And it's good to know the Lord as the finisher of our faith. We might have had a lot of experience with the Lord, and we know that Abraham also knew the Lord in many different ways. But the Lord reveals himself to us in these times as the finisher. And I really want to learn to get to know the Lord as my finisher. As the finisher. I want him to reveal himself to me as the finisher. Psalm 57 says, I have called to the Lord, the highest, the one who fulfills all, performs all things for me. Or Psalm 138, he will perfect his work within me. And we believe that the Lord will accomplish and perfect his work in us.